all of the time, every single day. And that passage of scripture that we read this morning, when Peter asks Jesus himself, should I forgive my brother or sister seven times? That version of the NIV sort of brings it out, but I think that some other versions bring it out a bit better. In other versions, it says seven times 70 times is the answer. Now, that's 490 times if you want to do the mass, but it even goes beyond that. That's just a figure. That's just mass. But I believe that we serve a God that desires restoration in every single person that he has created. All humanity deserves multiple chances from a God that loves us so much, so deeply that he sent his only son, that we would have life and have it in abundance. Who wants abundant life? Well, you have that. If you have Jesus, you have abundant life. That's how it is. As soon as you say yes to Jesus and no to the world and no to your old life and be like Paul and count your old life as rubbish, you automatically come into a place of relationship with the King of the universe, the one who has amazing love. How can it be? Just like that song sang there before that the ladies sang. And by the way, worship team this morning, that was beautiful. The harmonies musically, but in the spirit, that was beautiful music. Thank you for leading us through that. I just want to touch on some of these passages this morning. But before I do, I'm going to open in prayer and I'm just going to share a short testimony and story with you. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and just lay this day before you and thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your love upon our lives. Lord, we know that we live in a world that doesn't give you a break, doesn't give you a chance, just wants everything, you know, their own way, and a world of ultimately unforgiveness. But Lord, let this message touch the hearts of each one of us in this house this morning, that forgiveness is God's way. In fact, forgiveness is the only way. It's the way of truth. And Lord, let our hearts be transformed this morning in hearing your words, Lord, your teachings, that we are to forgive our brothers. We are to forgive our sisters. We are to forgive anyone who causes offense against us or does anything against us. And the reason we do that, Lord, is because you have forgiven us. And we give you praise for this word in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen and amen. There's a story. Other than Lachlan Macquarie, there's many stories, and you would know stories in your own personal life, but there's a story that really stood out to me, and it was a story that occurred in, I believe it was Sydney, in 2020. And the story included two parents, or actually four parents in this case, or more parents if you want to really look into it, but they lost... One lot of parents lost three children and another set of parents lost one child in this accident that took place in Sydney in, I think it was February 2020. The name of the parents that lost three of their children was Danny and Layla Abdullah. You probably know the story. You might be aware of it. But I remember the news clip initially after that, and Layla in particular said, I forgive him. I forgive this drunk driver that ran down my kids and killed them. This is probably less than 24, 48 hours after the event or on the day. I just don't know when it exactly was. But the point was she forgave someone who was so irresponsible, off drinking with his mates weekend after weekend, day after day, just a time bomb waiting to happen. And it happened. And unfortunately for this family, it happened to them. It happened. They lost... Sienna, Angelina and Anton, I think the names of the three children, and Veronica was the cousin, walking down, perhaps after lunch, I'm not sure what time it all happened, just to get ice cream. And if you can imagine those kids on just, you know, in the moments before that, they're just having fun, they're just living their life, innocent children, and all of a sudden, they're wiped out and gone from this earth, taken suddenly from their parents. Their lives taken and cut so short that it's just so unjust. And this drunk, all because of him. It's all because of his irresponsibility. And yet the mother, knowing all of that, feeling the pain of losing three of her children in one moment, all she said, I forgive him. Could you do that? Would it be easy for you to do that? That's the question and the challenge this morning. And to go further, five years down the track, the father actually visited, and this was a story on actual Channel 7 Spotlight last Sunday night, for those of you who may have seen it. He visits and stays in contact with the then killer of their children. And he was asked this question, which was just so profound to me. Not as a Christian, but as a human being. As a Christian, I can understand it. Outside Christianity, I couldn't understand it. And he was asked this question: if you had the authority or the power to release this man from prison, would you do it? And he said, I'd do it tomorrow. The one who killed my children, I'd let him go tomorrow. He obviously doesn't have that authority. But this is the heart of two individuals in this country who have a Christian faith, obviously, but actually have demonstrated the Christian faith in such a way that it's affected all of us who know about the story. It certainly affected me. It certainly made me think, well, if they can do it, if they've had such a loss, and then they can bring forgiveness to the one who caused that loss, why can't I just forgive those who offend me? And that's what this message is this morning that I want to share. And we're going to go through the Bible study and the scriptures that are involved in this that we've looked at. And I just want you to turn over to the first one, which is Matthew. If you've got your Bibles, I haven't got it up on the screen this morning, I don't think, unless we use that other one, but it'll be a different version to what I've got here. So we'll just leave that. I'm just going to read through some of the points here in this parable, just to refresh. It's a very well-known passage. It says, then Peter came to him and said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and that the payment be made. The servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay all. That passage up to there is a picture of you and me when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in our sins, and we say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins, all of the things. When I first became a Christian in the first 5 years, I used to settle accounts almost, you know, every day with the Lord. I'd just come to him and say, Lord, just forgive me for all the sins I've committed right now, up until now in my life. Have you ever done that? You just want to clean the slate? You don't have to do that, by the way. But I was just sort of a very logical sort of thinker, and I probably still am sometimes. But I just wanted to clean the slate. I wanted to keep short accounts with God. But I soon found out that we need to repent of our sin. Yes, we need to be reconciled to the Lord. But we also need to understand his grace. We also need to understand that he knows that he was tempted in every area like we are tempted. Yet he was without sin. That he came to seek and save that which was lost, which was you, which was me. And we were without a hope. We had no way of making it. And as long as you have breath, just take a deep breath. Hope you brush your teeth. Don't breathe on the person next to you. And then breathe out. You have breath. Therefore, you have the opportunity to receive forgiveness. You have the opportunity to live out a blessed life in the Lord. Who wants to live that blessed life? We all do. Amen. No need to raise your hands, because if you don't want to live a blessed life, well, that's up to you. But God wants you to be blessed in every area of your life. But most of all, he wants you to be blessed in the relationship you have with him, because that's what matters. Nothing else matters. If you've got $1 million in your bank account, it doesn't matter if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. If you've got, you know, all of these great businesses running or things, you know, whatever successes, whatever aspirations that come and knocked on your door and you've succeeded in all of it, none of that is called true success if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And the way that we get to that place is through reconciliation with him and an understanding of being a recipient of the forgiveness that he offers to you, but it doesn't stop there. And that's what this passage talks about, that we're not just recipients of forgiveness, we need to be givers of forgiveness. Amen? Has anyone ever wronged you? Has anyone ever upset you or caused an offense in your life? No need again to raise your hands, because I know everyone in this room has had someone do something wrong to them. But what was your reaction? My challenge, and you don't have to say anything, just think about it in your own time. What was your reaction when you were wronged? How did you react? Did you react like the world reacts and go and seek revenge? Did you go and react and then start harboring bitterness and hostility and anger, resentment, all of those things that cause sickness and cause all sorts of things going wrong in your life? Did you allow that to harbor in yourself? Or did you just simply do what the Abdullah family done and say, I forgive them? Just simply do what Jesus did on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you see a common denominator there? Can you see that you can be a part of that common denominator just by the decisions and the choices that you make? Because this very week, one of us, many of us, maybe all of us, will be wronged. So get ready, because we live in a world that wants to wrong you. We live in a world that does not care about you. But we serve a God that cares about you more than anything. And that's what we need to understand in our hearts, is when we are forgiven, we need to bestow forgiveness on others. We need to allow forgiveness to flow from our hearts, no matter how hard it is. And I believe, I'm a firm believer, without a relationship with Jesus, you don't have the ability to do that. Without the leadings of the Holy Spirit and being filled with His love and His fruits of the Holy Spirit, the love, kindness, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of those things coupled together into your life, growing in you day by day, when someone does wrong you, unless they are in operation, unless the Holy Spirit is leading from the front, you will fail to forgive. You will hold resentment. You will harbor those things that you don't need, which are detrimental to your faith. And in this faith runs deep subject that we're on this over the next 6 weeks, we need to go deeper into forgiveness and all these messages that will be brought from Max and Harry and what was brought from Dave last week. We need to go deeper than we were yesterday or last year. And I want to be deeper tomorrow and next year than I am now. Amen? We want to go deep in Him, deep in faith. And part of our faith requires the giving of forgiveness to those around us. When you take a look at Lachlan Macquarie's story, back in from that video, he looked at those convicts, unlike his predecessor governor, which is Governor Bligh, he released, I think, or gave freedom to two convicts, approximately. There was 1,500 convicts that this man just said, start a new life. Have a second chance at it. Did they all succeed? Did they all do? We don't know, but a lot of them did, as we just heard. So when you give someone a second chance, it doesn't mean that they're just going to be perfect and they're not going to offend you again either. You have to understand that. You've got to be ready for time and time again with some people. My wife had a brother, and he was a drug addict in Sydney. And his parents and the family forgave him, pulled him out of terrible positions all of the time, including death threats, and they actually had to leave Sydney to move to Brisbane because of death threats, because drug payments weren't made and all of these things. But they just kept forgiving him. Unfortunately, in that situation, it didn't end well. He committed suicide eventually. So it didn't end well, but he had chance after chance after chance after chance, but he didn't take the chance. He didn't receive the grace that was given to him on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. We don't want to be like that, church. When God gives us a break, when He gives us a chance, when He makes a way where there is no way, makes a road in the wilderness for us and rivers in the desert, We've got to take it. We've got to take it with both hands, and we've got to run with it and say, praise be to you. That song this morning said about honor. We want to honor him, and honoring God is forgiving others. Honoring God is receiving forgiveness for ourselves, yes. But honoring God is looking at that other person, yes, hating the sin, being upset about the sin, but loving the person and seeing the potential in their heart. I'm not a motivational speaker like, you know, Joel Osteen here this morning, but I want you to know that God has a plan, not just for us in here and Christians, he has a plan for the whole world. It's just whether people want to walk in that plan. And who knows, just think about it for a moment, the one person that you're not willing to forgive for what they've done, just think about it, if you did forgive them or didn't forgive them, that could be the difference between them coming to the Lord and rejecting the Lord and saying, you Christian hypocrite, you're supposed to forgive. Amen? We need to be a light, a shining light on a hill. And that hill is, in our case, Stanthorpe, where we are. That's our mission field. So I encourage you, in your heart of hearts, to come to that place of forgiveness. If there's anyone in here this morning, sitting here this morning, that you just can't let go of something that someone's done to you, today is the day. Now is the time. Let go and let God. You've heard the saying, let go and let God, because he will take care of the rest. Amen. To him who's been greatly forgiven and has been a recipient of mercy, it's just a natural thing to give that back to someone else. That's how it ought to be. So that's my encouragement to you this morning. And when we're looking over at this parable, we see that the master, it's a very serious thing if we don't forgive, if we choose to harbor that, is that in this story, 10,000 bags of gold, which is a lot of bags of gold. I'd just take one bag of gold and be probably a happy chappy. But he owed him that. The master released him and said, go, be free. Just like those convicts were released, just like we've been released from our bondage of sin prior to knowing Jesus. Just go and be free. But then the very next step, the very next moments of that man's life, he went and come against his fellow servant and come to him, choked him and threw him and his family in the prison until it was paid, and it was a much lesser debt as well. And Jesus shared this teaching for the simple reason to show you and to show me that no matter when you are forgiven, no matter what someone else has done to you, you need to forgive them. Otherwise, you will not be forgiven yourself. Who needs forgiveness in this house this morning? You can put your hands up for that. I don't mind. Because we all need forgiveness. And when we read through to the verse 35 of this passage, at the end here, just to cut this short, we'll go from 33. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant? This is his disciplining of the servant. The unmerciful servant, just as I had pity on you. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. You know what? You've got an opportunity while you've got breath to forgive your brother, to forgive your sister, to reconcile that broken family. There's some of you in here at Christmas time, is it a bit awkward with some family members that come to your Christmas lunch table? You know, maybe there is, maybe it's a problem, because some people, I was talking to one of my mates, we do a little bit of music together and stuff, and he's a drummer, and I've got to get him into church. And I spoke to him, it was only just last night, and he said, I haven't spoken to my brother for 18 years. And he lives just in Brisbane. He's not, you know, it doesn't matter where you live these days, as communication with a mobile phone is very easy anywhere. But he hasn't spoken to his brother because they had a falling out, because there was an offense somewhere at some time, and they still haven't spoken. And this, you hear those stories time and time again. But until that's restored, there is an element of unforgiveness in each of their hearts, potentially, that's just not going to leave them until the day they die. So I just want to encourage you this morning, if there's someone in your life, someone in your family that you haven't spoken to for a long time, maybe it was all their fault. Yeah, none of your fault. Usually that's how it is. That's why it's like that. But make that extra effort to phone them. Ask God for the boldness and the courage to do it, if that's what you think it's going to take. He'll give you that, because there will be nothing greater to have that situation reconciled in your life. It's going to bring peace to you. It's going to bring peace to them. And you know what? It's going to please the Lord. And that's the ultimate. Who wants to please the Lord in everything that they do? I do. You do. We all do. We want to bring pleasure to Him. We want to honor Him. And how we honor Him is to come to that place in our hearts of forgiveness and letting people back into our lives that we've shut out. Let's just turn over to the other passage this morning in Romans. We'll just have a look at that as well. It's chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if we were enemies, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but that we also rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Reconciliation, to come back into that place of relationship. God wants to reconcile you and me back to Himself. He made that way. In the garden, what was lost, this was in actually one of the songs that we do, what was lost in the garden was restored at the cross. So when those angels, those cherubim, were placed at the garden with the crossing swords of, it was to guard that garden. And from that point, when Adam and Eve sinned, right through to the life of Jesus Christ, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God had the plan right through the prophets of old, were pointing all to the message of the cross, to the truth of Jesus Christ, that He would reconcile the lost world back to Himself. That was His purpose. That is the heartbeat of God. That should be the heartbeat of His church. That should be the heartbeat of us. That we should desire in our heart more than anything to see that lost person restored that is out there in the street. To see that person that we have had held animosity towards, or hostility or resentment or bitterness towards because of what they did to us. I know I'm repeating myself, but we need to get this deep within us, to come to that place where we just make that choice, that decision to forgive, to make that time in our prayer time to say, Lord, I know this person wronged me. I know this person didn't want what's best for me like You do, but I'm choosing now to forgive them, to release them, to love them unconditionally. Because You are love, I need to walk in love, because that's who You are and that's who I want to be. I'll never be like You, Lord. I'm not a little God. I'm a broken vessel at Your disposal. That's who I am. I'm a humble servant, just to do what You say for me to do. You know, when I used to work at Woolworths, I was in management, but I wasn't the big manager. I was only one of the little managers, the little grocery manager. So if I didn't listen to the store manager, or if I didn't listen to the area manager, or if I didn't listen to the general manager, whom I did deal with because I worked through the ranks of Woolworths a little bit. So I went face to face with these men and women through my career. But if I didn't do what they said, if I didn't follow their orders, I paid consequences for that. If I didn't, I always did, but I would have. I would have been demoted. I would have been transferred to Mount Isa rather than living on the Gold Coast or something like that. You know, that's how it works. But that's the world. So how much greater is our heart of obedience to God to say, Lord, you're telling me to forgive, so I'm not going to go and unforgive. We don't want things undone. We want them done. Amen? We want tightness with the Lord. We want a beautiful, like a triangle, like a marriage, I guess. We have our marriages, whom we're married to, if you're married. But that triangle comes straight back to the Lord. And that relationship, it's not just in marriages. We should have that in every relationship, I believe, that we have that cross relationship, like the cross, and then the up represents that relationship we have with God together as a community, as a fellowship, as a church. And we come along each other's sides. We bear each other's burdens. We celebrate with each other's victories. And we come to that place of fellowship where there is such a peace, and you can truly understand this scripture now, a peace that surpasses understanding, human understanding. And that's where you want to be. You want to be in that place. You can't understand why there's such peace in this. You can't understand that when you forgive, what's going to happen initially. But when you do, you make that decision, you walk into this place of absolute peace, peace with God and peace with people. And we see that Jesus did that in the Romans passage we just read. While we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still enemies of God, while we were still transgressing, we're still transgressing today, right now. You'll transgress tomorrow. I don't want to speak negatively over any of us, but it'll happen sometime this week, if not tomorrow. So everyone's going to be really on their best behavior tomorrow, aren't they? We'll get to Tuesday and then we'll start. But no matter what, we know that we fall well short of the glory of God, but he wants us right in his glory. That's where he wants us. And the only way we can go there is choose to forgive, to choose to give that second chance to those who don't deserve it. Do you deserve a second chance? Did you deserve a second chance from that bad thing you done? Did that drunk who ran them kids down deserve a second chance by the parents in that picture, in that story? Did he deserve it? No. The answer is no, no, no. None of us deserve the second chance or third chance or fourth chance. When Matthew threw that ball, in case you didn't realize, I told him to miss the first one. It's all coming out. Because I didn't want him to get it, because that would have mucked my whole message up. So Matthew done a fantastic job there. I was hoping he'd get it in the second one, but the point is, he got it. He nailed it. He got it in. Because I gave him a go. And if I didn't give him a go, that's what Satan's like. That's what the world's like. One strike, you're out. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it. But God gives you that chance. And as long as you've got breath, you'll have a chance every morning you wake up, because his mercies are new every morning. There's not one morning his mercies aren't new. There's not one day you don't find out something new about God if you're pressing into him. If you're ignoring him, you're not going to find nothing out, because you're not pressing into him. But part of pressing into him, and the blessing of pressing into him, is that when these situations happen, when you need to give someone a second chance or third chance or a fourth chance, it's so easy. People can't understand why that person done that to you, and you are talking to them and you're actually giving them the time of day. The world can't understand it, because there is two kingdoms in this universe: the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of God. And we cannot live in both. One foot in God's and one foot in the enemy's kingdom. We need to make a decision and step over into God's. And I'm not saying the left side's the right side. That was a joke. Okay. I'm going to ask the music. It took a while to get that one. The music team, would you come? We're going to close the service this morning, and we've got a song. I believe it's the altar. So I want you to know this morning, today, in the spirit, and you're more than welcome to come to the front, but in the spirit, come as the ladies sing this song, come to the altar. Lay at the feet of Jesus all of your burdens, all of your challenges, all of the things that are holding you back. Because there's things that hold us back from what God wants us to be, who He wants us to be. And if we can come to the altar, we can come into His presence, to the foot of the cross, and say, Lord, it's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. The life which I now live, I live to bring you glory, to bring you honor. I surrender all, just like the song we sang earlier, I surrender it all to you so that I can have you as my chief and commander. That when I awake in the morning, I can receive of you grace, I can receive of you mercy. When I speak the words from my mouth, that they're going to be fruitful, they're going to be uplifting and edifying to those around me, not discouraging and mean and nasty and narcissist and, you know, all of those things. But I want to walk in love. So I'm going to lay all of those burdens down this morning at His altar. And I'm going to, from this day, walk hand in hand with our Savior, with my Savior. Because He's a personal Savior, amen? He's a personal Savior. We're going to sing. I'm just going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your words this morning. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're not just the God of the second chance, but You're the God of multiple chances. And I'm a recipient of that, and I'm well experienced in that, as we all would be. So, Lord, I thank You, Lord. I want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving for giving all of us in here that chance. Above all, the chance to know You, to walk hand in hand with You, and to love You. And I thank You, Lord, as we sing this song, that we sing this as an act of worship and praise and honor to You. And we give You all of the glory and the honor from this day forth and forevermore. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.